for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday morning, December the 31st, 2015. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the morning, teaching on mass deliverance.
Now, Sister Jerry is going to speak this morning, and Carla at 3, is that right? And then tonight, we'll have regular service at 7, and I'll be speaking tonight. And so we have a great day planned. It's been a wonderful camp, hasn't it? Oh, praise God. It's been very blessed. God has touched so many lives in this camp. Praise God. Amen, Sister Jerry.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Y'all want to move closer? Why don't y'all all come up here, since this is not a regular... Well, it's supposed to be a regular meeting, but... Yeah, I got to do something every now and then. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm really not going to... I shouldn't say that. I don't know what the Lord's going to do. I just felt led to take y'all through some deliverance, some more deliverance today, mainly. And the first thing that... I want to mention the breaches. I was going to show that on the overhead. But wherever there's a breach, there's pain, there's hurt, there's a button pusher, there's a wounded spirit, a wounded human spirit. You can't wound the Holy Spirit, but a wounded human spirit. There's idolatry. There's promises, vows you make. As children, when you get hurt, you promise yourself, you don't know you can go to God, so you promise yourself that when I grow up, life's going to be different. When I get out of this house, da-da-da. I'll never marry anyone like my mom and dad. I'll never have a home like that, or, you know, and so we make those vows, which become false gods. So wherever there's a breach, there's false gods. Because if we don't turn to God, we turn to a false god. Is that correct?
Amen.
So Lord, today I just ask, Lord, that you show me how to pray for each person. Lord, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but you said your Holy Spirit will make intercession for us as we pray. And so, Lord, I pray that you will touch my lips with the live coals from off your altar, that I'll be a tree of life, that rivers of living water will come forth from our innermost being. Lord, I thank you that Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places is bound from this place. Every curse, assignment, satanic ritual, witchcraft curse, word of death, word of iniquity, curse assignment is broke off this place, off our lives, off of our things at home, off of the things that concern us, in Jesus' name. But wherever there's a breach, there's fear, there's bitterness, there's pride. And you can, the scripture that would back that up would be Deuteronomy 32. It says, Jezreel grew fat and he kicked and he began to worship false gods, gods that he had not known, that his fathers had not known. And then God gets angry and God gets jealous and he turns him over to jealousy, anger, bitterness, hunger, terror. And there's just a progression of things we get turned over to when we have idols. And so fear is linked to idolatry. All sin is linked to idolatry. And I shared how to overcome anger is make an altar to God like Abraham did Isaac, take it up the mountain, and how I deal with fear. You know, we're living in days to where the news, movies, all this stuff is putting all kind of scary things on us. And if you didn't grow up protected, you had to take care of yourself. The lie is all this is happening in the world, the one world order. In fact, in September 25th, 2015, I think it was 25th or the 15th, when the United Nations met with President Obama and met with the Pope, who, by the way, is a devil in a Pope suit, met with him, they declared it to be a one world order. They declared it. So that's just kind of clicking along. And we hear about all this because along with that is... you know, if you don't take the mark, you can't buy or sell. If you don't take the chip, and if you take it, you go to hell. Well, you hear about all these things, and it's really scary. We live in days that the world is fear-driven. And when you hear these things and you had to take care of yourself, you think, dear Lord, I don't have to take care of myself and I don't know how to take care of myself. Well, the Bible says God will take care of us. Is that right? He says the angel of the Lord guards and rescues all those who reverence the Lord. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. You know, you hear about, you can go on the, last time I did this was probably 10 or 15 years ago. 10 or 15 years ago, you could go on the internet and there was at least 800 concentration camps in this country, empty and ready to take somebody. Well, you know, that's a scary thing to hear. But you know, if your steps are ordered and you're an ambassador of Christ, wherever you go, you're going under God's anointing and His ambassadorship. And so you have to have a heart for evangelism, a heart to lead people to the Lord, a love of people, because God loves even the evil people. But you hear all of those things, and so how I deal with fear is the same way I deal with hurt, fear, discouragement, whatever I think ought to happen that's not happening the way I think it ought to happen. I just take it up the mountain like Abraham did Isaac, and I take the fear up. I say, Lord, you hear what the devil's telling me? Lord, if that would bring you greater glory and honor, so be it. Lord, I live for your glory. But devil, you can't touch me, because how dare you think that you can touch anybody that's in God's hands? Because God says in Proverbs 16:7, if a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Psalms 41:10 says, I know God is pleased with me when my enemy does not shout triumph over me. And I know some people don't believe that, they believe that you just get, you can just get attacked, and of course you can get attacked, but I personally believe that a curse without a cause cannot lie, period. So if I'm under, if some curse is coming after me, I'm going to find the cause of it, and then it's gone when I repent. The Lord uses the devil to whip us in line. The Bible says everything was made by God and for God, and there wasn't anything that was made that wasn't made by God. He created the smith to blow the coals. The scripture says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Hallelujah. And so nothing can happen to a child of God unless God allows it. Amen? Not a hair of your head can be touched unless God allows it. You cannot die till God's ready for you to die. Is that right? So, you know, the way I look at it, whatever happens, you know, my life's in God's hands and I'm here for Him. I'm not, I love my family, but I'm not living for them. I'm not living for this world. I'm living for the Lord, and I want every minute to count for the Lord. When I leave this place, I want to have a conscience to know that I did everything I could do to please the Lord. And I fall so short, and I fell so short, and I know this, these problems I've had with my eyes, I know that's because of sin, and I'm dealing with everything I can think of. And maybe my big sin is unbelief and doubt, but I believe more than I did. Amen? That may be the sin I haven't committed, and I haven't confessed, but I can say I'm continually searching for answers to my problem. And that's how we ought to live our life, because God's got an answer for everything we go through. And so wherever there's a breach, there's fear, there's anger, there's hurt, there's torment, there's pain. If you have pain in your body and you don't deal with those breaches, eventually it works out in your body as physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain, and if it was sexual sin, sexual pain. And so you have to deal with the breaches of the heart. And then I want to share a little bit about soul ties. A soul tie is a connection in the spirit. You cannot see a soul tie with the human eye. You can be connected like a rope, a string, a cord, a chain, depending on the depths of sin that you were involved with that particular person. Through soul ties, you can get their addictions, you can get their familiar spirits, you can get their demons, you can get their mental problems, you can get their emotional problems, you can get their depression, you can get their sexual perversion, whatever, whoever you have a soul tie with. And so soul ties can be broken with the sword of the Spirit just through repentance, repenting over everything that you ever did to sin with anybody. And so through sexual sin, that opens you up to soul ties, and of course not just sexual sin. You can compromise. Any place you compromise the Word of God, it binds you to a soul tie. kids get soul ties with the games they play. These games these kids play are so demonic. Even if it looks so innocent, there's just a thin thread of witchcraft going through it. Movies. Kids that are watching movies are getting filled up with demons. And personally, if I had a kid, he would not be allowed to watch TV, period. Even the cute little cartoons, even the little Veggie Tales. I'm telling you, there's a satanic plot through all of these things that they have for kids. Dolls, eye dolls, a lot of the toys are demonic. God says don't bring an abomination into your house lest you become under the curse, under the ban. And so the first thing I really want to go through is sexual sin. And a lot of you have had personal ministry and we've dealt with sexual sin, but I'm going to have you stand up. And what I want you to do is I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, and I'll pray with you, to go back through your life. If you were a kid messing with animals, if you if anybody touched you in an inappropriate way, or anybody molested you, or I had one girl, I said, did your daddy molest you? She said, no, but I knew he wanted to. That's spiritual molestation. He molested her in his mind. And, you know, Jesus said if you just lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. If you've looked at pornography, you've got a soul tie with whoever you've looked at. And that image has been planted. It's been stored as a treasure down in your heart. And that's a hard thing to overcome. With the pornography comes fantasy, fantasizing. Masturbation comes with that. And so I want you to go back through your life from the earliest as you can remember, and anybody that touched you in an inappropriate way, anybody you ever touched, I want you to ask the Lord to forgive you for what you did, and ask God to forgive you and forgive whoever you were involved with, if they took advantage of you or if they didn't take advantage, if you took advantage of them. And I want you to repent. Ask God to forgive you for every relationship. And then when you're through, that's just between you and the Lord, then sit down and then stand back up, and we're going to break soul ties with whoever you were sexually involved with, whether it was a pornography or an actual person, and then you're going to get delivered. Amen. So just, Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to search every heart. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will bring to mind names, faces, places, and events that happened in each life. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray you'll show them how to repent in Jesus' name. I ask for the truth that sets them free. I bind them to the truth that sets them free. And when you're through, just sit down. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me for every person I've ever touched in an inappropriate way or who's ever touched me. Forgive me if I've ever touched an animal in an inappropriate way or allowed an animal to touch me in an inappropriate way. I forgive any blood relatives that took advantage of me sexually, or forgive me if I've took advantage of anybody that's in my bloodline. That's incest. That goes 2040, I think, don't quote me exactly, but I think it's 2040 forefathers, which is 10 generations, incest, in Jesus' name. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, I forgive myself. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you, Lord, pray with me, cleanse me by the blood of Jesus from all defilement. In Jesus' name, I take the sword of the Spirit and I cut all soul ties with every person and animal that I've ever been involved with. I call back my soul and spirit from them, cleansed, sanctified, and made whole by the blood of Jesus. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. Now every demon that came in through sexual sin, through pornography, I command you to go. Through bestiality, I break that curse. I command you to leave every person in this room. Come off of any children any children of parents who were gotten involved in sexual sin. I command you to leave now in the name, power, blood, and by the authority of Jesus. I command all unclean spirits to go, all defilement go, all familiar spirits go, all depression, discouragement, mental problems, addictions, perversions, get out now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. All adultery and fornication, I take the sword of the Spirit and I cut every person off, each person in this room, in the name, power, blood, and authority of Jesus. Now all demons have to go now. In Jesus' name, you leave every life in the name of Jesus. We break curses of incest. We break curses in the name, power, blood, and authority of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Okay, I want to deal with the curse of the bastard. I call it curse of illegitimacy, but the Bible says bastard. I just don't like to say that word. But it's a generational curse. It comes down 10 generations. I was under a generational curse of incest and also a generational curse of a bastard curse. My great-great-great-grandfather was a illegitimately conceived child, and his mother gave him her maiden name because the man that got her pregnant was married. And so later I found out that my maiden name was not even my maiden name. And my grandfather, my great-grandfather and great-grandmother on my daddy's side was cousins. It's a wonder I even have a brain. Because children born from incestuous unions have all kinds of problems. And I think maybe God spared me because from the time I got saved, I've loved the Word of God. And I still love the Word of God. And I'm going to keep on getting the Word of God, even though at this moment I'm not able to read paper notes or my own, hardly read my own handwriting. But I thank God that I've got good eyes. Praise the Lord. 20/20 vision. And so, Lord, if these eye problems came down through the curse of incest, or the curse of a bastard on my life, then I just take accountability for it, and I put it under the blood of Jesus. But a person that's conceived illegitimately under the bastard curse, it's what it means, for those of you who don't know, it means when mom and dad got pregnant with you before they were married, when outside of wedlock. A person that's born under an illegitimate bastard curse, because he's conceived in lust, he's born with a demon of lust. And if that's not broken, he'll have other children. That, in other words, if that curse is not broken, it'll just loop to the next generation. I mean, to the next kid. Every day it'll just keep on looping until somebody stands up in the bloodline and breaks it. And you know, you don't ask God to forgive you for granddaddy. Because, or forgive granddaddy, because he's either in heaven or hell, one of the places. But you take accountability. When you do that, it says that Levi paid tithes when he was in the loins of his father, Abraham. Well, Abraham was Levi's grandfather, I believe. And so if he paid tithes, which is a good thing, when he was in the loins of his forefathers, what is that to say for the bad things that happen? So what, to break a curse, you're saying, I stand up in the bloodline. I say, I'm standing up in the bloodline, and I recognize what's coming down the bloodline. And I'm gonna be the one in my bloodline that takes accountability for that sin. So I'm gonna put it under the blood of Jesus, and I'm gonna ask God to start with Adam and Eve and let his cleansing blood flow down through the bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life for illegitimacy, a curse of the bastard, or for, if you see drunkenness coming down or whatever, and I'm going to put it under the blood of Jesus, and I'm going to say it goes no further. And see, if I'm doing that, see, that whether my sister believes in curses or not, if she's not committing that sin, her blood, my bloodline is getting cleansed. And she has to take accountability for her own sin. But I've seen family members change when you do that.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen? And so if you were conceived, my all of my grandparents were married for years and years and years. There was no divorce in my family on both sides. And so I never knew I was under an illegitimate curse, but I always felt like I was on the outside looking in. Because the Bible says in Deuteronomy that an illegitimate or a bastard child cannot enter the sanctuary of the Lord. And that's the spiritual place. It's more real than this building you're in. And so that's why you always feel like you're on the outside looking in. And so when you're born under an illegitimate curse, you have lust, and my lust was never sexual lust. It was always for food. I mean, I lust after strawberry shortcake. And so, so they're born with the spirit of lust because they're conceived in rebellion. They're born with the demon of rebellion. Because they're conceived in shame, there's a spirit of shame on them. There's a root of rejection because, you know, maybe when they're born, they're just loved tremendously. From the time they're born, they're loved. But prior to that, babies can hear in the womb. The Bible says John the Baptist heard, when he heard Mary's voice, it said he leapt for joy in Elizabeth's womb, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, if a baby could be filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb, he could be filled with the unholy spirit. Because all of a sudden, if two people get pregnant out of wedlock, all of a sudden, mama don't want the kid, daddy don't want the kid, grandma and grandpa are mad, or they don't want the kid, and the baby hears all that. And a child that's rejected will do one of two things. He'll just say, the heck with it. If they want to rebel, I'll show them what a rebel is, and they'll just rebel, or they'll become a perfectionist. If they can find a way to be accepted, they will become a perfectionist. And so because they feel like they have to earn their right to be here, so they will excel in an area to be accepted. Or if they feel like they never can get accepted, I'll just show them how bad I can be. And so when we have rejection, we'll go toward people that are rejected. You've heard that old saying, birds of a feather flock together. Well, that's true. God says, walk with wise men and you'll be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. A person that's born under a root of rejection, they don't feel good enough, and they always collect themselves around or surround themselves with people that also are rejected. And so it's very important that we choose the people we hang with, unless you're the kind of person that can pull them up. As long as they can pull you down, you haven't matured enough to hang with them. And then when you mature, you're going to want to lead them to the Lord. I see people that say, well, you know, I need to go back to my old friends because I need to win them to the Lord. And what happens is the old friends drag them down. So surround yourself with wise people. The Bible says you'll be wise. And so if you, like I said, I didn't know I was born under an illegitimate incestual curse until some years back that I've gotten delivered from it. I always felt like I was on the outside looking in. And that was the reason, because I couldn't enter the sanctuary of the Lord, that spiritual place. So why don't you stand up, and whether you've been illegitimately conceived or not, probably it's in your bloodline. Because if it goes 2,040 forefathers, or about that many, chances are we are all born under an illegitimate curse. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, I forgive my mother and father and my forefathers for conceiving their children illegitimately and putting me under a curse of the bastard. And I'll say this, nowadays almost every person is under an illegitimate curse. Almost every African American in the South is under an illegitimate curse because of the way the slave owners abused them. And so, in Jesus' name, I forgive all of my forefathers for sexual sin, for conceiving their children out of wedlock. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, I forgive my parents for conceiving me illegitimately, if they did, and forgive me if I've conceived any of my children illegitimately. Lord, I stand up in my bloodline and I take accountability for the curse of the bastard that's passed down generationally. Lord, will you start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground that Satan's had in my life through the curse of the bastard, and I break this curse in the name of Jesus off of me and my children, and I declare it goes no further in Jesus' name. I come against, I forgive my parents and forefathers for everything I heard them say when I was in the womb. If they contemplated aborting me, I forgive them. I remove and ask, Lord, that you remove the fear of being killed from my life. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I forgive me for feeling like I'm a mistake. I forgive my parents for telling me I'm a mistake. I forgive them. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for thinking I have to earn the right to be here. Lord, I'm not a mistake because, Lord, you chose for me to live. And, Lord, I thank you. Help me live my life for you. In Jesus' name, I break soul ties with all of my forefathers who conceived their children illegitimately, my mother and father. I call back my soul and spirit from them, cleansed, sanctified, and made whole by the blood of Jesus, and I send back their souls and spirits to them, and I exchange their image for the image of Christ. And we're talking about the human spirit. We're not talking about the Holy Spirit we're sending back. We're talking about that person that was born in your body. It has a human spirit. In Jesus' name, I just command all the wounded spirits to go. I break the power of the root of rejection. I break the power of shame. I break the power of lust. I break the power of defilement. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of rebellion. In Jesus' name, Lord, I ask you to clothe them with robes of righteousness. I ask you to cleanse them by the blood of Jesus from all defilement. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, every demonic spirit that came in through the curse of the bastard, leave every person in this room and leave every child in Jesus' name. We break those curses off the children and off of our lives in Jesus' name. And I want you to get a partner, and I want you to say, I bring them into the sanctuary of the Lord. In Jesus' name, pull them into the sanctuary of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Pull them into the sanctuary of the Lord. Did somebody pull you?
Yeah.
You did? Okay, great. Praise you, Lord. People, actually, did y'all feel that? You can feel it. Bless the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bring them into the sanctuary of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Recently, I found out that sometimes when a child is born with birth defects, and child is born crippled, lame, birth defects, it's because of the sexual sin of the parents. And so when children get sick, parents, you need to examine your heart, close any door that you've opened through your sin that would make your that would be a open door or a breach for your child to be sick. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. Lord, I forgive my parents for sexual sin that would open me up to birth defects. In Jesus' name, we break the power of it. In the mighty name of Jesus, praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And now I want to talk about an unloving spirit. And this thing tormented me for most of my life until about 15 years ago. But an unloving spirit is a voice that talks to you, and you let it stay because you think it's you talking to you. The voice that it's a voice that nitpicks you 24/7. You hear it, and see, I used to think it was me, and it would say fat, 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 fat. And I thank the Lord that He's delivered me from that, because that tormented me my whole life. And then that would be the only time I'd ever get depressed. Is when I'd hear that voice, fat, 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 and then I'd take a nosedive. I'd be having a happy day, and then that thing would start tormenting me and telling me how fat I was, and I would take a nosedive. And what you do is when you have that unloving spirit is you're always confessing that, I would always say, well, you know, I look fat in this dress. Or you draw attention to the fat. And what you do is reinforce that spirit. But I found out about 15 years ago that that was not me talking to me, but it was a demonic spirit. It was an antichrist, unloving spirit. And when I realized that it wasn't me talking to me, it took a hike. And so it's a spirit of self-hatred. My whole life, I really hated myself. Self-hatred, self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self, self-contempt, self-rejection. And so I want to lead you in a prayer to get rid of that spirit in your life. God says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. That spirit wants to tear down in you everything that God wants to build up. And so in Jesus' name, Lord, this day, y'all have to tell me what time it is. It says, is it 11 o'clock? Okay. Today, Lord, December 31st, 2015, at 11 o'clock, I accept myself as fearfully and wonderfully made. I forgive myself. Lord, in Jesus' name, I accept myself. Forgive me for arguing with you, Lord, over the way I was made. Father, this day, I accept myself. I forgive myself. And I thank you, Lord, that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am your workmanship in Christ Jesus, unto good works that you prepared beforehand that I should walk in them. I thank you that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I thank you that when I'm weak, you're strong. Your strength is made perfect in my weakness. I thank you, Lord, that the wicked bow down at my gates. I thank you, Lord. I thank you and praise you that through you I can run upon a troop and by my God I can leap over a wall. Father, I thank you and praise you that I stand firm in the faith. I gird my loins with truth. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. I shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I put on the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth. I take the sword of the Spirit, and I, having done all, I stand. I thank you that I overcome. Say it with me. I overcome by the blood of Jesus, the word of my testimony, and I love not my life even to death. I love not my life even to death. I give up my life that I might find it. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you and praise you that you're the potter and I'm the clay. And Lord, I get on the potter's wheel. In Jesus' name, I praise you, Lord. And now, Lord, that I found out that this voice that talks to me is a demon. It's not me. It's an antichrist, unloving spirit. And I thank you, Lord. This day, I command it to leave me now in Jesus' name. You demon that nitpicks me 24/7, say it. You demon that's been tormenting me my whole life, telling me I was whatever. And you know what he tells you. Mine would say fat, fat, fat. You demon that has tormented me my whole life, now that I know you're a demon, get out of me now in Jesus' name. You cannot stay in Jesus' name. You antichrist, you unloving spirit, you spirit of unforgiveness of self, you spirit of self-contempt, self-loathing, self-hatred, self-rejection, get out of me now in Jesus' name. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He made, say it, he made me, him who knew no sin to be made sin for me that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, I just thank you and I just praise you, Lord. What a mighty God you are. Thank you that if I make my heart soft, tender, and pliable towards you, I'll have the desires of my heart. And Lord, I forgive me for a hard heart. All hard-heartedness that's come in has to go now. All depression and all discouragement that has come in with an unloving spirit. All spirits of addiction, you have to go in Jesus' name. All spirits of pain, you have to leave every person in this room in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Okay, let's do word curses that were spoken on you by your parents. Words your parents spoke, words that you spoke. Like you're stupid, you're good for nothing, you're ugly, you'll never amount to anything. You're just a cripple, you can never get well, you can whatever. Start naming things that were said over you. My mother used to say, your eyes are bigger than your belly. because we had a grocery store. You big old stand up in the row. You're not worth the salt that goes in your bread. How about this one? You wouldn't holler suey if the hogs were eating you. Don't ask me what all that means, but my mother said that to me. Okay, speak out words that were spoken over you. Because what you speak, it might apply to someone else. Come on.
You don't have sins, God gave a goose.
You don't have sins, God gave a goose. Okay, what else? Do you have one?
Stupid.
You're stupid? You're ugly? No one will ever love you? No one will ever want you? No, you'll never get married?
Dumb as a box of rocks.
You're dumb as a box of rocks. Okay, what else?
You're a whore.
You're what? You're a whore? Okay. What else?
Worthless.
You're worthless?
Ugly.
Ugly? We're going to break all these words here in a minute because you're not any of those things. Okay? Go ahead.
Bad mother.
You're a bad mother. You're mean.
You're just like your mother.
You're just like your mother. You're just like your father. Just like your grandfather. Your grandmother. We shouldn't have had you. We regret the day you were ever born.
Yes.
Your mistake.
Do I have to draw your picture?
Do I have to draw your picture? Don't you get it?
You should be seen and not heard.
You should be seen and not heard. Okay, what else? You can't learn. You're not worth anything. You don't deserve anything good. You never listen. You're rebellious. You don't do anything I say. What else?
Four eyes.
Four eyes? Anybody else? Speak up.
I wish you were more like...
Yeah, I wish you were more like your sister, your brother, your... Why don't you be like so-and-so instead of letting you be like who God created you to be? What else? You're disobedient, you're a liar, you're a thief, you're good for nothing, I hate you, you're a fake Christian, you're a hypocrite, you're a drunk, you'll always be a drunk, you're an addict, you'll always be an addict, not good enough to live in the house with you. See how these cruel things that people say to their kids? I tell you, you have little kids, never speak anything negative to them. I did this with my son, you know, when he was just little. He was afraid to tell the truth, you know, and he would lie to me. And I'd say, that kid is the biggest liar. Well, he was a liar his whole life till he was dying of AIDS. And he got saved and he told the truth. You curse him with words. Which what I should, how you would have said this is you don't allow anger. I mean, you don't allow lying. You shouldn't have lied. That's wrong. And you're going to get disciplined for that. But you're not a liar and you're not going to be a liar in Jesus' name. You see, you say it in a positive way and still correct. Okay, what else? Curse you out. Call you a B-I-T-C-H or a B-A-S-T-A-R-D. Okay, what else? I don't want you. I don't love you. I don't like you. What else? Come on, I know there's more than that. I wish you'd die. You know, when you wish somebody would die, it puts you under a death curse, plus it puts the spirit of death on whoever wished that on you. What else?
I hate you.
I hate you. What else?
You make me sick.
You make me sick. It's all your fault. Your daddy left, your mother left because of you. You're just too bad. What else? You're killing me. Okay, you have another one?
Why don't you go kill yourself?
How cruel.
You'll be the death of me.
Come on, there's some more. Couldn't tell the truth if your life depended on it. You're ugly. You're stupid. You're too tall, you're too short, you're too skinny. Anything else? Lord, in Jesus' name, pray with me. I forgive my mother and father for speaking these curses on me. Words are arrows. In the name of Jesus, I pull every arrow, these arrows out of every person in this room in the name of Jesus. I pull out all the arrows. I break the power of those words. In the name of Jesus, we break the power of every word of death, word of iniquity that was spoken over every person in this room. In Jesus' name. You're crazy, you're mentally ill, we break those curses. In Jesus' name. We just command every demon of every curse to leave every person in this room. In the mighty name of Jesus, leave every kid. In Jesus' name. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You know, if you bless, this is true. You can take water. In fact, this has been an experiment that they'd take a glass of water and then they would take like maybe 3 or 4 glasses of water, and one glass of water they'd say, oh, you're so tasty, you're so delicious, you're so wonderful, you really quench my thirst, I love you. And then they would speak to the other glass of water and say, you're bad, you're rotten, you're no good, you're stagnant, you're whatever. And then they would maybe that was the rice experiment. Let me back up. I'm getting two stories mixed up here. This is a true experiment. They cooked two jars of rice, and they put them in a cabinet the same temperature, I think for about 17 days, and every day they would speak to one jar of rice and say, oh, you're delicious, you're tasty, you taste wonderful, you smell good. And the other rice, they would say, you're rotten, you're no good, you're putrid, you're whatever. And at the end of 17 days, the rice that they spoke words over, good words over, was still good, still white, still smelled good, still, but the other jar of rice was rotten. You know, our bodies are at least 70% water, and this is the other experiment. You can take, you can change the molecule, you can change the, how am I going to say this? I wasn't sure that was right. The molecular structure of water by taking, they took water and they put it under water they spoke words of love to, and then took it and froze it, and then that crystal that came out was a beautiful shaped crystal. They took water that they had cursed, spoke words of death over, and they froze it, and it was all mangled looking under the microscope. They took another thing of water, and they put it under the influence of rock and rap music and froze it, and it was a crystal that was all mangled looking. And they took another thing of water and they put it under the influence of that oompa-pah music, melodious music, and they froze that, and under the microscope it was beautiful. And so when we speak, if our bodies are at least 70% water and we speak negative over it, it can change the molecular structure of us. And so that's why it's important to speak blessings over people. Since the Lord taught me this, I'm always blessing people, because if you bless people, you get blessings back. That's not why I'm doing it. But I've found that I've been so blessed since I've been blessing people. But we curse little children, and we destroy them, and we've been cursed, all of us, because our parents, in ignorance, have done that to us. And so, in the future, word words in such a way that they can be truthful words, but not curse people. So every demon have carried out every curse against every person in this room has to go, because we forgive, and that breaks the ground for the enemy. In Jesus' name, praise you, my God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. And I'm going to ask, Randy to do something. When I think most of you are probably like me, I've been everywhere I thought God was. If I thought God, there was a move of God over here or over there, I don't do that anymore, because I've discovered that a lot of it's bogus. But I've been to Korea, I've been to the Vineyard, I've been to Pensacola Revival, I've been to Toronto, all those places, because I didn't want to miss it if it was of God. But I want Randy to get some stuff off of us. There's places where they're teaching that gold dust, and there's drunkenness and gold dust, and so Randy's going to lead y'all in repentance. He knows more about all of this than I do, and he's going to break that off of us. If you've been these places where they're drunk in the spirit, or their arms are flying up, or their legs are kicking, and people have laid hands on you, and so many of these places where you go, if they're not dealing with sin, if they're not teaching you about that, the Bible says without holiness, no man's going to see the Lord. And drunkenness is actually a judgment from God on the spiritual harlot. If you do a word study on wine, new wine in the Bible, you'll see that because of spiritual adultery against our bridegroom Jesus, God mixes a cup of the wine of his wrath, and he makes the harlot drinker, and she becomes drunk. And don't take my word for it. Look up all the scriptures. In fact, my book back there, I've got a book that I wrote, is drunkenness, is it a blessing or a curse? And I can tell you, it's a judgment from God. And I don't want to offend anybody, but it's time we get some of that stuff off of us. Okay? Randy. And I'm going to leave before the prayer meeting because we've got to get back home. But I just love y'all, and I appreciate so much each one of you.
When I got born again, you know, I come out of a lot of darkness, a long life of darkness. And so everything that I thought was God, I was going after. I mean, you know. And the enemy is very intelligent. We don't rail against him. We know our God is bigger than he is. Okay? We respect our adversary as a worthy opponent. And I'm going to tell you, if it wasn't for Jesus, we're done. It's not about us. It's about the King of Glory, the Lord who's in us. Right? And submitting and obeying him. But he's also a faithful God. He's faithful to teach his people. And so, we were, you know, in the circle of the people that I believe most of these people legitimately love the Lord. There may be some wolves in sheep's clothing, but they legitimately love the Lord. But as the Lord began to give us a check in the spirit about certain things that were going on in the church and what we were seeing, and we went to one place and the pastor, let's just say he came out of Toronto, and this place had a revival going on, and it was that they called it revival, and legitimately, people were getting saved, people were getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, but the pastor come out and made a statement such as you did not need to worry about generational curses or fighting the devil or doing any of that. You didn't need to address him. You just need to get close to Jesus. Okay, so the first trip in there, honestly, we had a bunch of witches in the church we were in. We've been doing battle against that. My wife and I thought, well, praise God, we're just going to get to come here and praise the Lord. And we no longer sat down at the enemy. And the Lord said, there's three witches in here. He showed them to me. So I want you to watch what they do. And then I told my wife, I said, there's three witches in here. She said, there. He already showed her. And we began to pray. He said, watch what they do and pray against them, but just observe. And in a little bit, somebody over here starts barking like a dog. Somebody over here starts making these drunken laughter things. Somebody over here is growling. Somebody else walks by and hisses at us. Okay? Well, that's not God. It's not God. So, then there's another book. Now listen to me. There's a book over there called War on the Saints by Jesse Penn Lewis. There was a revival called the Welsh Revival. And it's a true revival. And most of these ministries are believing God for revival. And that means God pouring out His Spirit. But she details exactly how a true revival happened, the Welsh Revival, that began in prayer. Earnest prayer by a few people that exploded into more and more people praying. And I'm going to tell you, the saloon closed down. People would get off work and go to church. It went on for days and days and months and months. And she describes exactly how it was brought down, and it was by people seeking, instead of seeking God like they did at the beginning, they began to seek. They began to seek the manifestations and seek that, and the devil gave them manifestations, and it was called the Holy Spirit, and it brought that revival now. Okay? Not everything called of God is. But we went to a particular ministry, and by this time we have a check. Okay, Lord, show me. Now listen to me. I don't want to hinder the Holy Ghost in anything. Anything He wants to do. But I also don't want another spirit. And so each of us, listen, each of us has the Lordship, which we should submit to Jesus as Lord, but we have rule over our own spirit and soul. Okay? So we are able, we began to learn, okay, I want you to show me the truth, Lord. So we'd go into a place and we'd say, Yahweh, you're my daddy, you're God, and I want everything from you you have for me. But I absolutely refuse any other spirit. Now, if you understand that, you don't have to be afraid of anything anywhere. All right? You may not want, you'll learn not to, where you're going to plant yourself and what you're going to sit under, but you are establishing that you're not receiving anything except from God. But we went into places where there's one ministry that has a deal where everybody falls over in laughter. I'm not saying God can't give you laughter and joy, but I wanted to know, is this, and I'm telling everybody, there was probably 2,000 people in this building. Callie and I pray, Lord, if it's of you, we want it. If it's not of you, we don't. And we went in there, and I'm telling you, after the service, and the man began to minister. Now listen, these people go out on the streets, they tell people about Jesus, they pray for the sick get healed, there's people getting saved.
But they don't deal with sin.
They don't deal with sin. They don't. But we go in there, and that man ministers, and what they call the anointing fell. They came and prayed for everybody in the place. There was probably 2,000 people in there. Everybody fell out laughing except for two.
We were standing in
a circle. The whole circle, the whole place. Everybody. Now, we've given God permission. You hear me? Lord, we're here. Didn't happen. And let me tell you something. Some of these places got great music. Some of their songs. But some of them aren't. And you have to be able to discern what's of God and what's not. Okay? Because I want you to know something. Somebody can be in the flesh one day, and they can be in the spirit the next. And you have to discern what's of God. But you go out there in Bethel right now, in the church, and Lord, I'm praying for all these people. Even many of them we're talking about. We want you to open their eyes. We're not condemning anybody. It could be us. We'll judge anybody as if we couldn't do what they're doing. Okay? But now they got what's called holy yoga. Yoga's not holy.
No.
And they're getting tattoos and saying it's okay. And they're not. And laying on graves to get the power of the anointing of the dead that went before. They're soaking, they believe, the power from these evangelists that have died in the past. Smith Wigglesworth is one of them. One of the greats. All right? Well, that's not of God. That's New Age practice. They've been fooled. They've been deceived. There's a place called contemplative prayer. And that contemplative prayer, they're basically told to blank their minds. Listen, the Bible never says blank your mind. When the Bible says meditate, it means think on the Word of God. Mutter what He says. Repeat His Word over and over. Look at His Scripture and say, what does this mean, Lord? Show me what it means. It's thinking of the Lord. Listen, you can chant. You can literally chant the name of Jesus. And say, Jesus, Jesus, and turn it into a chant, and another Jesus will show up, but it won't be the King of Heaven. Okay? So there are deceptions out there. And because of that meditation and because of that blanking of the mind, you receive another spirit, and there's a spirit called Kundalini. Okay? There's a spirit called Kundalini. And that spirit is an ecstatic spirit that comes into people that do yoga. Okay? And you can go, you go online, there's a man named Andrew Strawman. You can look at his ministry, and he's not an attacker. Listen to me. I judge things by, if somebody is attacking these human beings, they're in the wrong spirit. But this man used to be amongst these groups, okay? And the Lord began to show it. And then you can go online and you can look at yoga and the festivals and their activities, and then you look at what's going on in the church, and it's a mirror in many places. And that Kundalini spirit, and they're praying, even a lot of the essential oils being running rampant throughout the church, and the people that are selling them, obviously, and even on their website, say they're opening chakra points, which is New Age Yoga. Okay? It's the same spirits. We have to be careful. We want to love people. We don't want to condemn them. But we don't want to receive a spirit that's not of the Lord, even if it's called of the Lord. And so it's always a good practice, no matter what. I don't care if it's me teaching, Jared teaching, any of us. Hey, Lord, if it's of you, I want it. If not, I don't. If we see people there, we pray for them. I'm going to tell you something about another ministry. There is a many, and I'm not even going to say the name because I don't want anybody going there. I will say it was mentioned earlier. Okay? But you can go to this ministry and go to YouTube and watch, and there is a woman on that ministry, and they begin a youth service, and they begin to dance and sing, which is all good, but there's an Eastern religion tone to it, and you hear the music that is an Eastern religion music, and the people literally go into trances as they're doing it. And a woman begins bending over and groaning and moaning, and she's conjuring a demon. She doesn't know it. She thinks that she's calling on the Lord. Well, that's what they believe. And if you had that video right here, that demon would manifest in this room, and we'd have to contend with it. Just from what you can see on the computer. Okay? I've seen it. And I showed a fellow one day, and he manifested. I showed him, and it gone on him. And I was just showing him to teach him, and it gone on him. And when I began, I've known that man for a long time, and he'd been to Africa and other places. And I ministered to him over things that happened there. And he froze, just froze. I mean, was stuck. And I said, Lord. And I got out of the vehicle, and he was in the seat behind me. And I opened the door. He grabbed me by the throat. And he says, you don't know who you're messing with. And I said, you're messing with Jesus. It's not me. I'm binding you in Jesus' name. And I began to do it. I called him back to himself. And when I did, I said, did you go to India or somewhere? And he said, yeah, I traveled all over India. So what did you do? And he said, I stayed at the temples. And I said, you do their rituals? He said, yeah, you have to do that, stay there. So that thing that was in the church caused what was in him from going and staying in those temples to manifest. So it's the same spirit. And so we dealt with it. But so the main thing is here, Father, we want you to lead us into all truth. That's what you do, Holy Spirit. So it is a safe prayer to say, Father, if I've been anywhere and sat under any ministry, or got into any ministry, we forgive them. I'm not throwing a dart at them, but I forgive them, I release them, but I break any error, and I command any spirit that came into me from the church that's not you to go, in Jesus' name. So anybody that wants to pray that prayer, that's about what I'm going to say. If you'll repeat after me, we'll go there. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you're a good God, and you love me. And your interest is that I walk in freedom. Now, Father, if I've walked into any deception, even in the church, I repent. I forgive everybody that's ever caught in error in the name of Jesus. I release them. They don't know, Lord. I forgive them. I even forgive any wolves in sheep's clothing. I want them saved. Release them, Lord. Now, Lord, wherever I've submitted to something that's unholy, I break those soul ties in the name of Jesus. I send their soul spirits to them. Call my soul and human spirit back to me, covered in the blood of Jesus. I break those ties. I break the demonic bridges. I renounce Kundalini. Every New Age spirit, every Eastern religion spirit, all spirits of Hinduism, all Buddhism, all ancient spirits, all witchcraft, even charismatic witchcraft, I break these curses, and I command these spirits to leave me now in the name of Jesus. Now just breathe deep. Another Jesus, come out now in the name of Jesus. Get out of God's people in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Ecstasia in the name of Jesus. False comfort, false peace in the name of Jesus. Leave God's people. Drunkenness in the name of Jesus. Unholy laughter, come out now in the name of Jesus. Get out, get out, get out, get out. Lord, if it's of you, we want it. If it's not, we don't. So get out of God's people now in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. Religious spirit in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I got it, spirit, in the name of Jesus. I got it that's not of God. False fire. We break your power in the name of Jesus. False fire, dominionist, I break your power in the name of Jesus. Get out, get out, get out, get out. Loose God's people in the name of Jesus. Every serpent, Kundalini, Kundalini, you serpent that goes up the backbone in the name of Jesus. I pull your head out of the heads, out of the necks in the name of Jesus. I cut those coils and pull you out. Loose God's people now in the name of Jesus. Every demonic opening and portal, every chakra point that's been placed by the enemy. And then that's not of God. We break your power. Every portal in the name of Jesus. Portals in the solar plex. Portals below the navel. Portals in the backbone. Portals in the neck. And portals in the third eye. We break your power. We break the portal to the pineal gland now in the name of Jesus. All of you be closed in Jesus' name. Spirits from yoga in the name of Jesus. Spirits from the tattoos. And if you've got tattoos, say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father,
I repent for that. I know you forgive me. But in the name of Jesus, I renounce it. I break soul ties with the tattoo artist. In Jesus' name. Send their soul and spirits to them. Call mine back to me. Covered in the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Father. I break the power of bondage, slavery, death, paganism. In Jesus' name, command all those spirits to go. I cancel the writing on my body. In Jesus' name, I command the images of what's on my body to flee. Every spirit behind them. Go now in Jesus' name. Now deep breath. Come on out in the name of Jesus. Come on out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Loose God's people in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. You're holy and you're good and you're pure. And you're righteous, and you lead your people into all truth. And Father, I thank you, Lord. We break the power of the deception even in the last day. Thank you, Lord, for your people. We lift up even the ministries we talked about. Anything, every one of them, Lord, it is our wish and our desire that they're led into all truth. Lord, take the mixture out of your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Now, can
the
Lord fill me?
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.